Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Of course, today is Thursday, the July 17th, until after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Neary, and I shall be your host for the day. I'll be an out for a minute. Yeah, I'm going to be out for tomorrow again. I actually have a funeral. The passing and remembering of the late Francois Neary, who is Eugene, Dr. Eugene's Neary wife. Oh, she was an aristocrat woman, a very loved woman. It's of a different age. You know those influential women of yesteryears, dainty, sophisticated. And I go to pay tribute to her and her family because she's added to the Bahamas since she immigrated to the Bahamas. She added a type of dignity to us in terms of who she is. I mean, she's in her capacity of being the wife of my cousin, Eugene Neary, she served the Bahamas too. I remember when Eugene was the ambassador of Tahiti, and whilst she was there with him, accompanying him as his wife, I don't want to use the word attacked, but anyway, she ended up, I say, shot in the line of duty in the capacity of being the ambassador's wife. And for that itself, the Bahamas need to herald her and appreciate her for serving us for that. And I go to pay tribute to her. Tomorrow, I think that's 10 o'clock. So I won't be in. Erin Green will be hosting the show. Tomorrow will be an open line on Friday. So she and you can talk about a range of conversations tomorrow. So I'm grateful to Erin for doing that for me. Today, or Thursday, I won't have open line again today. There's so many things in the news that I have yet to hash out to even give Erin homework on. Say, Erin, look this up for me. Right, look this up for me that be able to get some articles and put things together. So I'm going to have an open line. That means you can call in and talk about what is trending on social media, what is trending in the news, right? I have one or two things, as usual, that I would like to discuss to put out there that you can comment on. The numbers today are 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. And, of course, you call it from the Family Island. That's what Seattle and Johnson. 242-357-20. You can call in and say what's happening on your side of the Bahamas. Of course, immigration is trending. Of course, Reverend Lyle Bethel is trending. Sebastian Bastian is trending. Those things don't necessarily interest me, but you can call about that too. People run, people complain. That's the nature of democracy. You're supposed to complain as much as possible. And as you complain, you see good things, you're supposed to congratulate also, right? I see the government is announcing one new type of school. I see the Minister of Education. I can try read exact quote too, because I'm not sure if Bahamians know that it's being instituted. It's a new type of technical school. So I'm not sure how it complements or supplement the BTVI school, but it seems to be like a institute to learn trade. And that was interesting because I think that by grade 9, a number of men and women, young men and women, teenagers, should know what they want to do, right? And a number of people will say, man, I'm not academic. I want to learn a trade. And I see no reason by grade 12 one cannot graduate with a plumber's what a first rank for plumbers. What's the first rank for plumbers?
Apprentice.
Well, apprentice, I guess so. I'm not sure if that's what you call it, but because you know it's like phase one, phase two, phase three, whatever it is. Definitely a phase one plumber or phase two electrician. You know, phase one like a mason. You know, I see no reason by grade 12, we have a cadre of young behemoths who cannot do a trade to open up a job or some sort.
So pause right there. In Nordic countries, students, like when they reach sort of middle school, mm-hmm. they take a third of the day or half the day, they go into an apprenticeship program, right? So they're determining from that young age what they want to do. But we got to think beyond job, mm-hmm. right? Because when you started talking, I say, yeah, man, I was talking about that the other day. I was saying to a friend, especially after the Minister of National Security's briefing, where he indicated that even with the low unemployment rates, there's still a labor shortage, yeah. right? Bang. Starting young people off early in exploring career potential, right? Getting them into academic or not, get some experience. Hold on, just get some experience in it, right? Mm-hmm. So not elective, but a mandatory, not extracurricular, but like intern apprenticeship part. The key, though, is not just educating them so they could get a job. Mm-hmm. That's not what we need. What's being indicated by Monroe's commentary, what's being indicated by Mitchell's commentary, and when you juxtapose it to the response from the public, there are people who want to work, the people who need jobs, the people who want jobs, the people who want to work in that field. Mm-hmm. Those people don't necessarily want to be a part of an organized labor team, or structure. So taking these young men from this early age, and young women, great idea. Preparing them, great idea. When they get out of high school, they are ready to go and work for someone.
Yeah.
But the key is this. What if we could, from that age, organize labor team so that they're not just thinking, when I leave here, I'm going to get a job and I could work and I could make my money. I could be home. I could work whenever I want. But we're preparing people to be a part of an organized movement, an organized team. So mm-hmm. you have a team of 50 young men, mm-hmm. 10 are carpenters, right? Phase one, phase two, phase three. 10 are specialty, fine carpentry at the end, right? They're doing the fine work. 10 are plumbers. 10 are landscaping engineers. So it's more than just trimming grass, right? It's constructing walls and all kinds of things. So you got 50 young people in a company now who can take on major jobs, as opposed to the subcontractor. I could find John. I could see if I could find Bob. I could see if I could find Mary. You have a team of 50, a pool of 50, which means you could go on any job with a team of 30 people at any time.
Yes.
And that's what we need to be preparing young people to move into.
And hopefully our government see it that way, that they could create teams. I'm not sure if they're good at creating teams, but hopefully someone able to do that.
What their job, like you spot on, that's not their job. Mm. Their job is to identify stakeholders, key players, and potential donors, funders, sponsors mm-hmm. in the market who will invest in a team. We need somebody, like, I don't know if y'all remember Big Red, the heavy equipment guy. Mm-hmm. He was just really supportive, like, to young entrepreneurs. He's just really supportive, right? But I think he's passed away. Rest in peace, Big Red. Condolences to the family. You need a boy like him who could say, look here, I'm going to invest in these 50 young men. I'm going to create a company, right? And I'm going to contract them out. Mm. But they learn to work as a team, so they understand what in a company and to own and operate a company.
Yes. And also, we had an incident with an American citizen. Unfortunate. So we know that didn't end well. But we will watch it. There's an incident with a police officer. And it's going viral now, right? It's an unfortunate incident. But it gives us an opportunity to root out some inefficiencies and correct some bad behavior. So I'm looking at it as a positive, because some things need to be revealed. And we could talk about that too. Bohemians like record, and besides like record, we like to forward recordings.
Yeah, because right? It's not, in all instances, the recording isn't necessarily the bad thing. right? Because there's the first question I'm going to ask. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't it have been easier to turn on a body cam? Like, wouldn't it have been easier for every officer in the station to turn on their body cam?
Or do we have enough body cams ready?
Hold on. See, that's the next thing. See, because that's an administrative issue.
Yeah, but I'm just asking if we have enough.
We're supposed to. Okay. They keep telling us about the body cams. They keep.
I thought we had about 20 in total. I mean, sound like...
You telling me this is like the computer in the car?
I'm saying we have about 20.
You mean this is similar to when they told us they put in computers with an S in the cars with an S, and it turns out that it's likely that the prime minister took the PR picture with the one computer in the one car?
It is what it is. We have a caller now. Like I said, we have a number of things. I want to read some things into record. I'm going to let the caller start. Welcome, caller. Guardian Radio AM's open line Thursday. We're talking about what you want to talk about and highlighting things inside the news and giving commentary about it. How are you doing?
I am doing great. I am doing great. Try to keep a PMA, positive mental attitude.
Good.
But see, you know, CC Sweeting, under the guidance of the former principal, Mrs. Dolores Ingram, they had a program similar to what you were talking about, where they prepared the individuals for various trade jobs, mechanic, plumbers, and whatnot, right at the school. But just like everything else, you know, when one administration comes and they changes and they whatever it is. And so I don't think the program ever, when she left, I think it, or when whoever took over, they had some different ideas. And that's a problem. But another concern of mine in regards to that, see, I live through Oxford Avenue. And right across from where I live, they are building the so-called this new health facility. And I'm concerned about the fact that there are a number of people working who are migrants, who are not Bahamians. And there are individuals who live in this constituency of St. Barnabas who are in need of work. And there are foreigners who are working on that job. That money is Bahamian taxpayers' money. And I feel that Bahamians should have access to that first. And I am calling on the authorities to fix this, because there is no way in hell that that foreigners should be working ahead of Bahamians. I spoke with Mr. Alkinas and the contractor when they had the initial groundbreaking ceremonies, where I told them there were a number of individuals. There's a young man there who was waiting on the call, and he hasn't gotten it yet. And I'm saying this publicly, you know, the first prime minister of the Bahamas said that if we are not prepared to fight for our country, and we don't deserve to have it.
I can interrupt you. Well, just to engage you, I have a lot of calls on the line, but you're a sensible, sober person.
Come on up.
There are a number of Bahamians say, man, you are just xenophobic. We need to learn to share this Bahamas. The idea that if Bahamians want a job, they could go get it. Organize yourself and go get the job. You are now lobbying for Bahamians first on the newspaper, even the bishop who, you know, House of Assembly mentioned Bahamians must come first. Surely there's enough room, enough work that all of us can be employed. Why lobby Bahamians must come first when surely these people who you're talking about have a status in the country to work?
Well, I mean,
they ain't illegal. They have status to work. That's why they got the job.
I mean, that is yet to be determined. Okay, I would like for the Immigration Department to come in there and determine whether these people have the right, whether they have the requisite permit. Sometimes a lot of these people, they may have a permit, but it's in another area. You see, we can say these things. We need the Immigration Department to be on all of these construction sites to determine where the individuals are working on these various...
Caller, let me expand.
Construction site, whether they have the requisite
paperwork, an authorization. Let me expand on what you're saying.
Aaron, I'm going to say this right now, and then I'm going to listen to you. But I am not powerful, whatever it is, because I grew up with Haitians in the early 60s and 70s. I grew up. I just want fairness. I want for Bahamians to feel like you know, they have ownership. And the young men out there who wants to work. It's not like they don't want to work, but they just can't,
So
I think that we should be given first priority.
So Carla, let me expand on what you're saying quickly, Nuri. With what you said just now, it doesn't quite work like that. And I think it's important to be pedantic with this one, right? When you say, man, look, the person is in the country legally, why can't they take that job? It doesn't work like that. You get a work permit for a specific job, right? Mm-hmm. That's determined before you get in the country. So the idea that you just in the country legally and then you have an opportunity to take this job, it doesn't work like that. So understanding that speaks to what the caller was saying. Why is it that a contractor or a subcontractor is being granted work permits to bring people to work on a job when it appears as if the local labor pool has not been exhausted, right? Which is different, because I could see xenophobia, like, hey, if the people from Elutra and Nassau are legally, why the people from Elutra can't take jobs in Nassau? It's not like that. To get to the Bahamas as a migrant, you must already have a job secured, mm-hmm. right? And so, but the second thing is this caller, going back to what I said earlier, it's not just about having skills anymore. First of all, the scale of work that's being taken place, right, that is taking place, requires that you, so it's not that that young man in your constituency is being beaten out by the migrant for the job. There's a Bahamian who realized that he needs to bring a team of laborers in to secure the contract. And so that Bahamian has organized migrant labor to be a part of his team. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Those young men in your constituency, they need to organize themselves and they need to create a structure for themselves that makes these bids more accessible to them. And because they're young men, they need a senior man or a senior woman in the community to initiate it, to sponsor it, to facilitate it, to assist them, to be the silent partner or something. But the scale of opportunity, right? The scale of work that we're looking at with all the big FDI, the billions of dollars on the table, requires the local worker to organize himself. You, as a standalone, nobody going to call you. You got a team.
Okay, let's go to the next caller there. Let's go caller, Guardian Radio AM. Guardian Radio AM. Caller going once. Okay. I'm not sure if anyone noticed that murder, when you talk about this murder, no, homicide, let's change the word because, you know, got to be specific, seems to be trending downward. I'm not sure if people are watching that. I'm not sure what causing it. If there's any, is it by policing, better policing? Is the government initiatives working? But it seems as if we will be trending towards the lowest record in recent times regarding murder or, again, homicide. And that's something to start analyzing and start watching. I found that fascinating. Let's go back to the callers. Guardian Radio AM. Go ahead, caller. Yeah. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, Guardian Radio. How you doing?
Blessings to you, man.
Welcome back, my friend.
Yes, man. Thanks.
Ms. Green.
Yes, sir.
I was trying to get on to your show. I can piggyback off something on your show, and then I got to get to Nuri.
Yes, sir.
I wanted to talk. You were talking about business about Bastan.
Yes, sir.
And the number business.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now, I am not saying that he was always the number thing. I think number was always here. The problem of legalizing and getting it regularized and everything was the kind of a problem on it. But you were saying about him being, there's not being legal, and he was breaking law and everything.
Pause. I said, I'm asking the question, right? Mm-hmm. Of when did it become legal? For the purpose of the conversation, because it seems as if everybody is dancing around what the initial, what the concern is.
Yeah, but what I'm saying, Ms. Green, I understand what I'm saying in this, right?
Uh-huh.
My thing in this is that it's now legal. So let's go with that now. It's legal now. It's not illegal no longer.
So let me ask you a question. If 90 Knowles, hold on. If 90 Knowles came to the Bahamas and said that he's ready to run for parliament, you have a problem with that?
If they legalize what he was doing or what he was charged for, I don't have a problem with
that. Okay, next quick question. Quick question.
Yeah.
Adrian Fox, who was accused with human smuggling, if not human aid, was given a national honor.
Was he charged?
I said he was accused. You heard me say that. Hold on. See, you heard me say that 7 times today and yesterday.
See, the difference
he was
being
accused.
Being charged. That's two different things.
Listen. If a person who was accused multiple times of human smuggling or trafficking tells you they want to enter the House of Assembly, you have an issue with that? That's all I'm asking you.
I don't have no issue with that. I have an issue when he's being charged. When he's brought before a court and being charged and convicted, then that becomes a problem for me.
Okay.
But let's get back to the number thing quickly. Quickly here with the number thing.
Uh-huh.
Right now, a church had a raffle the other day for $10,000. That's gambling. Anytime you do a game of chance, that's a gamble.
Mm-hmm.
If I buy a ticket in hope of winning something, I'm gambling.
Mm-hmm.
That's a gamble to me.
It's not a question of morality.
If I go to put a dollar on a number in hopes of winning, I'm gambling. If I buy a raffle ticket for $5 to a church in hopes of winning the $10,000, that's a gamble. So the church seminar all wrong. The pastors shouldn't be in politics in thing if the church having gambling, raffling, for exploring all that. That's a gamble.
Thank you very much, caller. Let's move on next to the next caller. I'm not sure if you saw this quote. Recently, the former prime minister was interviewed, and I have the quote. I wrote the quote down.
Mm-hmm.
It says, I ain't even tell you which former prime minister. It is what it is, right? We don't need to come up with this parliament. We don't need to come to this parliament passing every darn law and don't mean an F. Let me read it again. We don't need to come to this parliament passing every darn law that don't mean F. This is our former prime minister said it, by the way. I'm quoting it because they played in the news. I don't know what F means. That don't mean F. What F means?
Fuck.
Sure, because I know he's going to come up with an answer for me. I just was shocked that our prime
minister.
Very Trumpish.
I know it don't mean Freemason.
It's very Trumpish. And I said, our former prime minister said that in the interview. And they play it over and over again. That don't mean it. Anyway, let's go to the caller. Go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio AM.
Did Erica get mad at me
because I quoted the prime minister? Just checking.
I mean, F means fiduciary.
Just making sure. Go ahead, caller. I'm sorry.
How are you all this morning?
Good morning, sir.
Let me ask both of you a political question.
Okay.
If a governing party appoints someone, isn't that political?
Yeah.
All right. So the former administration.
Hold on. Let me just clarify my answer.
All right. The former administration appointed Sabas as an ambassador, right? A non-resident ambassador. This administration has appointed Sabas as a non-resident ambassador. Doesn't he already seated himself in the political arena?
Not in the House of Assembly.
No, not in the House of Assembly,
but he's
working on behalf of the Bahamas government.
We're not sure.
What you mean you're not sure? See, Ms. Green, at the end of the day, we have to be realistic and things. I mean, you know, we can't take it personal because it's not, okay?
Producer, just pause it. Come on the airways doing that, questioning people's integrity in that way. It's not a personal matter to me. It may be personal to you. It may be personal to you, but it doesn't mean it's personal to me. When you all set the dogs, set them on the right people.
I understand you're trying to say.
No, you don't understand what I'm trying to say. You hear what I'm saying.
For several days, and the topic is, the main topic was surpassed, Bastian, I want to get into politics. He's already in politics, Ms. Green. That's all I'm saying to you. That's all
I said that today and yesterday.
Do not import.
Y'all don't do that. Y'all like to slander and defame people. You like to slander and defame people. It's not a personal position. I am a media personality. I talk on the radio every day. I talk about what people are talking about. I'm also an advocate. I don't have a personal problem with Sabaz.
Well, the lines are lit up. I just want to congratulate my favorite reggae DJ. Prime Minister, the Honorable Philip Davis, KC, the Honorable Mario Boleg, officially presented credentials to Mr. Jasper Overdose Thomas on Wednesday, July 16th, 2025, commissioned him as a cultural ambassador. I'm not sure what a cultural ambassador is. I guess they promote culture, and I'm not sure they promote culture. And I'm not sure if they promote culture locally or they promote culture abroad. But I want to congratulate DJ Overdose, because I enjoy his music, especially during COVID, and especially when they're doing Caribbean music. And I just wanted to recognize him for that. Okay, I also want to read into the record that education advancement, the government is ramping up efforts to equip young Bahamians with technical skills that meet global standards. Minister of Education Glenys Hannah-Martin provided updates on the Bahamas Polytechnic Institute and the launch of a new national accreditation hub. Minister Glenys Hannah-Martin says Bahamas Polytechnic Institute, that's a new name, Bahamas Polytechnic Institute is set to become the country's premier center for education, bridging the gap between school and the workforce. I'm not sure how to work with BTVI, but I wanted to make sure let people know that that exists. Let's go to the caller and we can do some commentary on that too. Man, y'all sound like y'all was round, but Sabas over the
No, not at all.
No?
Not at all. I don't understand this. You know what upsets me though, what is personal? People have been trying to use viciously to attack Lyle Bethel by tagging me in old articles, right, where it appears as if Lyle Bethel was attacking me. Like that, because I'm opposed to Bethel on some issues, I would just automatically allow myself to be used to attack Lyle Bethel. Y'all, please operate with integrity.
Okay, let's go to the caller. Go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio AM is open line Thursday.
Yeah. Now, you see why we need regulation, Aaron?
Mm-hmm.
You see why it was so, I mean, it's so difficult for people to understand that all the government did was regulated something for you, and you thought it was legalized when it was always free. And this is here we are now paying for all of the resources that we have that are free. We are allowing governments to put a tax on it. They're regulating it. And guess what? The same thing is going on with our electricity. We could generate electricity, but guess what? We don't know how to get it to our consumers at a nice price. Because we got these old wires that's burned, that's sucking up all the energy before it gets. So, look, you need someone to come and tell you got to change your light bulbs to more energy-saving ones and pay them $1 million for that advice. So you pay for regulation, Aaron, and we believe it's legalization.
Mm-hmm.
That's you know, that's really sad, you know. Here it is. The freedom is in your hand, but until someone taxes it, then you have it.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks very much, Colin.
Yeah, man.
We are now debating land reform bills. Finally, we could get to claim generation land that tends not to belong to any one individual. My concern is in the past in Acklands, they've had vast amount of land and one part of the family just get all. They go whatever.
They have legal agency and economic, right? Like they know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so they get there first, and right?
Can you imagine my father being the first child, right? And then his little brother, who's down to 20, going to claim all the land because he was smarter, whatever it is, or his great-grandchildren come and claim it. So, but the land ain't yours. You just happen to have the same name as me. And then you trace the land and you go and get it first. Yeah, like, but you ain't leave nothing for me.
The land is ours. It can't be yours.
Yeah.
It's ours, you know, to share.
So I'm hoping this land reform bill allows some kind of system that one person can't claim all the land. You got to institute some kind of corporation that the corporation itself, the institution itself, controls the mechanism of the land distribution. So I'm hoping that this with the land reform.
I think that the government has launched a website similar to the website they launched for the creation of the cannabis industry. I think
you still doing that? Okay, silent. Go ahead. Did you find it? Let me go, or go to call it. Or you look for that while to go to the next call. Let's get all these callers. Yeah. Go ahead, call it. Guardian Radio AM. Calling you live. Go ahead, call him.
Hey, good morning. How are you doing?
You're well, man. Go ahead.
Yeah, right, man. It's an open line, right?
Yes, open line. Talk with everyone.
Oh, yes, sir. Yeah. Okay, could you fully explain to me the reason why people have a problem with Sabas Bastian running in politics? Because I still don't get it. Because the guy is a beaming citizen, right? I mean, I don't know if I'm on the moon. I only know he's a number man to start the next, right? But he still deserves the right to run if he wants to run because he's a beaming citizen. People have a problem saying that he's rich or he already have enough money. So I don't think that you should be demonized for having wealth.
I don't think anyone is demonizing him for having wealth, by the way.
They are having a problem with him running in politics.
I think they are... No, I have no clue, but I think they are concerned about the gaming industry and him being to the table and possible corruption in gaming. I think that is a concern. It's a warranted concern. I mean, I assume he is decent. I assume every politician we have in the Bahamas are legal and honorable men. They don't do no conniving things at all, right? I believe that. I believe a number of people are concerned, say, hey, this gaming industry is moving. It's a multi-million dollar thing. And whoever's at the table able to manipulate everything in the future, right? And they're concerned that him being at the table may cause problems in the gaming industry in the future. That's not him being rich. That's the gaming industry we're talking about.
Some people question the way that it's happening. Some people are like... Why it start off with whispers and then with this article in the paper.
It was beautifully done. This is coordinated.
If you want good politicians, you should pay them more money. Yeah. Right? It's the way that it's happening, some people raise concern about.
You mean that's deliberately orchestrated? It is deliberately orchestrated, and that's politics. Just that some people want to cast a blind eye that this is being done purposely. For an end, whatever the end is, it doesn't bother me. I watch and try and make my money on the side. If the country fall down, right? I just want to have a raft to escape. Go ahead, caller, Guardian Radio AM. Caller Grand Ones. Go ahead, caller, Guardian Radio AM.
Hey, Marie, what's happening?
Raise your mind, what you say?
Yeah, we're on the other side of the bench this morning, but I make her mad and I accuse her none, but I think she didn't realize I wasn't finished. But I was saying earlier, so on the Constitution with reference to gambling.
I'm mad at you. Sorry about that.
I let all these people know an application. And that application calls for certain criteria in order for you to get a job. And don't say you convicted of smoking marijuana or you may have been getting your money through nefarious means or whatever. And don't say we'll accept you. Depending on what you do in life, it depends on where you go. We have a corrupt society. We run it. So someone like a minister, Dr. Minister, former prime minister, will come and say, oh, ain't nothing wrong with this, ain't nothing wrong with that. Because he ain't no bowl of fruits. He's half. And we need to get it right. Because we have an international community out there that's concerned about us. We got to do business with and well-being. Okay. Yes, the boss is a baby. He has a right to run. So does CCP. He got a right to run. So does 90. Now he got a right to run too. So we have to look at these things in an honest fashion, man. You understand? It's a boss owned half of the buildings in this country. What you think the first thing happened he get those of assembly? Complication. Come on, man, you all think.
We now, will deal with those complications when it arises. And I hear you. And people have a right to complain, as people have a right to advocate for and against.
You got to think, you got to advocate for and against, thinking about it objectively, like Mr. Lang is saying, let's do it with some common sense. Yeah. If he got 90 buildings in town, and he got it out of assembly, come on, man. But let me get to maybe your point. Gambling was never illegal in this town. according to the British. I was trying to explain, go on to England and tell the British, we want the foreigners to gamble, but the Bahamians, no. The English said, according to our constitution, that cannot happen. Now, Finland undercut the table, come back to the Bahamas, and made something called a regret, which we spoke about, a policy. That is a policy. But the constitution said that no foreigner could do anything in this country that a Bahamian cannot do. So that policy that they made is ultra-virus to the constitution with reference to discrimination. And if challenged in a court of law, that policy will fall. That's all I wanted to say. Good. But we don't challenge that. Okay. Thanks for taking my
Thanks very much. It should be, let's say the good gentleman does pursue politics, frontline politics, and let's use that word, frontline politics. It would be amusing, someone who owns an entire media, popular media station in terms of campaigning. I'm not sure if there's any rules about campaigning. Because they sure
own the media houses.
In the media houses. And you own especially media when you house. Own them. You can talk about your owner. Surely you can talk about your owner.
I get to grab Stephen Aaron, because he references The Guardian, right? And the newspapers, and because DePuch, and some of these guys had papers, right? And that had a lot of sway, right? And there was a lot of politics around that. But I just thought about it. Let him run. Maybe we'll have public declarations. Maybe somebody will just
we'll have a public have no disclosure. Public declaration. I don't even want to see no public declaration no
but
more.
But see, this is what it is.
If they can't do it now, I don't want to see it.
Maybe the problem isn't Sabas. Maybe the problem is that the systems in place are so dysfunctional that it cannot tolerate a Sabas, right? Because everybody seemed to be fine with this complete and utter disregard for constitutional policy for the public disclosure process.
That's us.
Complete disregard. What's going to happen?
And nobody up in arms.
What's going to happen if Mr. Bastian's declaration is not published?
There's no need for it ever to be published.
Why not?
I don't want to know how much money you own. Since they cannot declare it now, I'm not curious anymore. And clearly the Bahamian people are not curious because we're not demanding it. So I don't care if he ever
declared. I could use that.
Yeah, man.
I can tell you where right now I'm going to put that on my asylum form. Anonymous. I'm not going to say I know that, but I just say people is be
only
saying things like this. I got to go.
Accepting people like you. You can't go to the United States. Trump's sending you back. You can sit here and just bear it like how I bear it and crack jokes. Just go to the next caller. God, you're in
Liberia. Liberia, isn't that America and Africa? I can go there, man.
No. Read the text, man. Go ahead. God, it's open line today. Go ahead, caller.
Yes, how you doing, Nuri? Just let me first, before I get to my point, let me address GNN. The Constitution in the Bahamas provides for three things. Not a Constitution in the Bahamas, but Constitution is just one thing. It protects, it permits, or it prevents. The Constitution in the Bahamas prevents nothing. The Constitution in the Bahamas protects certain rights. And it, under two circumstances, it permits. One of those circumstances is in the marriage arena. It simply says that should you discriminate in the area of marriage, there can be no claim as the constitutionality of your rights being violated. The second one is it permits discrimination in the gambling or gaming industry. It says that it should we make a law that discriminates in this particular arena, you can't gamble. You're complaining about it being a constitutional issue. However, in the language of the law, there is no such thing as behemoths cannot gamble in the casino. It says any person, any resident, I forget the word, it's like you care for certain things, right? Ordinary resident, whatever, 6 months or more of the year, prohibited from gaming in the casino, be you behemian or foreigner. A behemoth that does not live in the Bahamas for 6 months or more per year, that they live in TCI or something else, is permitted to game in the casino. So the discrimination is against residents, not against behemoths, even though we say behemoths aren't allowed to gamble. Move out of the Bahamas for 6 months or more per year, ordinary resident, and you could go into the casino and stay as long as you want and spend as much as you want. However, and under the same gaming regulations, it gives the minister the authority by just verbalization, right? And this is why you see these people get permit to keep gaming and doing different things, raffles and things. The minister could get up tomorrow and make a declaration that whoever wanted to go to a casino could go to a casino, because it gives him that authority.
Okay.
And so it's not against behemoths.
Okay. Thanks very much.
But go ahead. I want to talk to the point of land, right? Like I think I told you that if you go into the restaurant today and you start shaking some salt into your soup, the cover open and the whole container of salt fall in the soup, and then you ask the waiter to bring you another soup. He takes that one back, puts it in a new bowl, and brings it back to you. The minute you taste the soup, you know it's the same soup. That's the law that's been, this is what is being done right now to address the land issues in the Bahamas. It's the same land. The Immovable Property Act has not been changed. The supposedly, I hear speech concerning the Lyndon Palin putting the, what is called the Ingram did the International Personal Land Holding Act replacing the Removal Property Act. The funny thing about it is it's coming from the Progressive Liberal Party. And if anyone wants to look at what attrition or separation of the humans, they only need to look under the Progressive Liberal Party's term since that International Personal Land Holding Act. In fact, during Perry Glasnow and Christie's first term, I considered that administration a real estate company. The okay. only problem is they didn't sell real estate. They gave it away.
I appreciate it.
Hello?
Go ahead, quickly.
Yeah, I'm simply saying is that you don't, the way they're doing it is saying we're going to have arbitration, we're going to decide, and this person can decide for everybody, and you still have to pay for certain fees. If you examine this, nothing has changed. If you want to change to correct the land thing, we know when land ownership began. It began with the queen or the sovereign. We only need to go to the sovereign title and work our way forward. Okay. We may reach to 1960 or whatever it is, or 1940, and then all of a sudden you see when no information is available for 20 years or 30 years, and somebody appears, you know, did a lot of transfers, and somebody appears with this new information, and then there's a gap. So the question is that if you start at the back, you've given
Seattle, we got to go.
We
got to take a quick break. Right. Thank you very much again. I want to read this before we go to a break. I say a cabinet minister yesterday revealed that the U.S. government-backed institution showed no appetite to finance the new $267 million hospital, while the U.K. offer emerged when the China deal was already 95% done. It seems like we just had a proxy war between the U.S. and China, and looked like the U.K. I want to know what your comment on it, right? The Chinese responded, the United States responded, we responded. It is odd. Let's go take this quick break. When we come back, we run into the text and we run into the line. We're giving everyone 30 seconds now, man, because we're running out of time. Guiding Radio AM, we'll be right back.
Just sign in and have a seat, please. They'll call you in for your x-ray shortly.
That's why they call it a waiting room. You won't have that problem at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Rona. We never schedule multiple appointments, so you'll be in and out in no time. And if your initial screening reveals a concern, our radiologists can conduct an alternative screening right then and there. Call 328-8157 to schedule an appointment at 4th Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Grosvenor today.
As a local Bahamian bank, we believe that Bahamian businesses are the backbone of our society. At Fidelity, we proudly fuel the dreams of our local entrepreneurs looking to expand. Ready to grow your business? Apply for a Fidelity commercial loan today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Hey kids, it's back. The Jeff Rogers Summer Basketball Camp, July 28th to August 8th at the Kendall Isaacs Gym. Monday to Friday, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. for boys and girls, 5 to 18. Pair and learn, including our very own Buddy Hield of the Golden State Warriors, Klay Thompson of the Dallas Mavericks, former Laker great Michael Sweet Bells Thompson, another great among the point guards back in the day, Muggsy Bogues, and many others. Application forms now at the Bahamas Conference of Seventh-day Adventists, Tonic Williams, Darling Highway. Call 341-4021 or check the website jeffrogersbasketballcamp.com.
Welcome back to Guardian Radio AM. Of course, we're going to go to this caller. Aaron, get the text right. Yeah. So we can run through that. People are still concerned about whether Sabash should get into politics. One is that his industry is locked and protected. The politicians have protected him and his industry. Nobody else can enter it. If I get $1 million right now, I cannot be in the gaming industry. And if he enters politics, if I was him, I was going to protect my injuries too. Nobody else was going to ever get into it here, right? It's interesting, and it's something that Bahamians should be concerned and have the debate about, right? It's not necessary that we try and, not to me, because I just comment and I don't really care who goes into politics no more, right? It's not that people are objecting because he's rich. That's not here nor there. Not they're objecting because he basically owns the gaming industry, the major player. Right, it's about future laws and manipulation thereof. Especially, there's no campaign finance reform.
Yeah, recently we National Guardian ran a video story. Reporter asked Prime Minister on the heel of some event, you know, what about campaign? Are we going to see campaign finance?
Never see it. So that's why there are angst. There's angst, and there should be angst. You know, we've correct our system to allow people like that to come in. And mind you, did I mean? Go ahead, caller. Guiding Radio AM. Caller going once. Go ahead, caller. No? Yes? No? Go ahead, next caller. Go ahead, caller. Guiding Radio AM.
That's good morning, Mr. Green. Good morning, Mr. Newey.
You get your 30 seconds. Running out of time.
I'm running a few, but, you know, in reality, the poor people would praise the rich. But, you know, I'm not interested in these type of models. Gambling was legal at the Bohemian Club. If you read the Sahari Oaks book, which I think might have been located somewhere in the front of the Hilton Hotel, but my concerns is just what you guys are talking about. But also my concern is, for a couple of weeks now, I've been asking someone from the gaming board to come on and let the public or me, who's an Islander customer, to know what the win-loss ratio is. Why is nobody having these conversations? Are we all imbeciles? Ms. Green, do you understand what I'm saying?
Okay, I hear you. You want a conversation specific to
the
dynamics in the industry.
Whether it's 1 to 100 or whatever, because this is what needs to be known. Otherwise, it's monopoly, and the thing's not being run properly. It's just like one time ago, Sahari Oaks won 1/3 of the land in Nassau. Read the book. Up the right outlook. Give thanks.
Thanks. Let's go to the next call again. We're doing this quickly. Go ahead, caller. Open line today.
30 seconds, I think five.
Go ahead.
Ms. Green, you think you still get the papers that tell us if somebody was charged with them? Sure, you know the garbage and really is. No, I'll hang up and listen. Keep up the good work, Mr. Leary.
Okay. All right. Thanks very much.
So the man is accused. He's accused of neglecting his 6 and 9-year-old children, and we're going to page 7. And allowing them to starve on October 17, 2024. Police said the children were found in a prompting an investigation that led to the father's arrest. The accused pleaded not guilty. The inspector serving as the prosecutor cited the defendant's lack of legal status. An immigration officer confirmed that the man had no lawful status in the country. He was denied bail and will be held at the Bahamas Department of Correctional Services until his trial on September. That's briefly. So he's been... I think he's been charged. He hasn't been sentenced. He has no status in the country, which would maybe speak to how this dynamic evolved and why those kids sort of fell through the safety net, right? Because they may also be undocumented. But I can put it in my notes and I can read the full story tomorrow morning for you, Papa.
This question is, should we be concerned about Roland Simnet being on the money? What did Roland Simnet do? That they don't want him on the money. Anyway, they also mentioned that the Simnet family, or they, I try to say, I guess, Brent Simnet, I'm not sure, who owns Commonwealth Bank? I thought it was owned by a lot of people.
I think it is, right? It may have been started.
Because I know the Butlers have huge shares, and right. Donaldson.
I think it may have been started by, or primarily by, and, but yeah. It's,
but
it's,
was it by one Simnet or by all the Simnets?
I don't know.
Yeah, anyway, they're saying that because Brent Simnet owned Commonwealth Bank, he shouldn't have been in the politics. I'm not sure how they get that. But it's a defense for Sabath. And I mind you, I believe people need to defend whoever they want to defend. And I'm glad that he has supporters and people are showing their support for him. But some of these defenses are irrational, some racial, right? Trying to make a social point that don't make sense, right?
And operate with integrity, right? Yeah. You're defending the person you're talking to in defense of that individual.
This text reminds us that 90 Nose could not run in politics because he's a convicted criminal, and you can't be convicted and be able to run. It should be interesting. I couldn't read that one. I'm trying to go through all the texts. It should be interesting to see what happens regarding the police officers who decided to record that U.S. citizen. It shows immaturity on our police force. I expect the commissioner of police to issue a statement soon in terms of what she will do in terms of the investigation. Hopefully it don't take too long.
And we could avoid this leakage of footage if all the officers wore body cam, and that footage could be used in evidence, right?
Yeah.
As opposed to recording for evidence, but losing it in the daily.
Anyway, it's 12 o'clock. It's news time. I'm out tomorrow. Aaron Green is going to be doing another open line Friday. So you can call in and talk about what's trending and what you want to talk about. And if you'll just give you some response on that. Take care, Nassau. Take care, Bahamas. We'll see you again tomorrow or next week. Bye-bye.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app.